ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the 6th canto, chapter 16th, text number 5. Bandho nyatyari madhyasta mitro dasina vidvishah sarvaiva hi sarvesham bhavanti kramashomitah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this material world, which advances like a river that carries away the living entity, all people become friends, relatives and enemies in due course of time. They also act neutrally, they meditate, they despise one another, and they act in many other relationships. Nonetheless, despite these various transactions, no one is permanently related. Purport. It is our practical experience in this material world that the same person who is one's friend today becomes one's enemy tomorrow. Our relationships as friends or enemies, family men or outsiders are actually the results of our different dealings. Chitraketu Maharaj was lamenting for his son who was now dead, but he could have considered the situation otherwise. This living entity, he could have thought, was my enemy in my past life, and now having appeared as my son, he is prematurely leaving just to give me pain and agony. Why should he not consider his dead son his former enemy and instead of lamenting be jubilant because of an enemy's death? As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.27, Prakritehe kriyamanani gunais karmani sarvashah. Factually, everything is happening because of our association with the modes of material nature. Therefore, one who is my friend today in association with the mode of goodness may be my enemy tomorrow in association with the mode of passion and ignorance. As the modes of material nature work, in illusion, we accept others as friends, enemies, sons or fathers in terms of reactions of different dealings under different conditions. So these words are being spoken by the small child who has just had a near-death experience. He was dead and he comes back to life and he starts speaking these words to his parents. Chitraketu. And Chitraketu Maharaj's heart is being transformed after hearing his small child speak such elaborate philosophy, spiritual philosophy. So many times we have seen that actually, that when children speak, it has a lot of impact. Just recently I was in this CBD Belapur program, and because Gaurang Prabhu was absent, so I had to take his lecture, his program. So about 200, 300 people were there. And in that program, after I gave a talk where most of the people were kind of spaced out and sleepy, one small child came forward. She was very small, maybe 2 years, 3 years or something like that. And her mother was carrying her, and they made an announcement. Now the small girl will be speaking about Narsingha Leela. Narsingha Leela, a small girl like this? So everyone came to the edge of the seats and became very enthusiastic to hear that. Small girl. And the mic was given to her. And of course, because she was too small, when she saw such a big audience, she became a little nervous and she couldn't speak properly and audience could not hear her so much. But still, whatever little bit she spoke, it was appreciated. People were clapping and saying, oh, very nice, very nice. You know. So this is the effect. Many times when elders speak many things, you know, it doesn't create an impact. But when small children speak some things, it really creates an impact. Many times it works like that. Why? Because various reasons. Maybe because one thing is that people don't expect small children to be so intelligent and so realized to speak such philosophy. What do they know? You know, they're like small kids. And another reason could be because they are so innocent, they are so, they are so free from these malicious intentions, and that, you know, people put faith on the children. They hear them with open hearts. They don't doubt these children because they are not out to cheat them. Everyone knows that child cannot cheat them. And moreover, children, everyone loves children, isn't it? They're so cute and so cuddly, and everyone likes to be with them. So when they speak some philosophy, people hear. And we can see here that Chitraketu Maharaj actually gets transformed when he hears his small kid speak philosophy. When Narad Muni and Angira were trying to instruct him, it was not going into his head. But when the small child, his own son, had a near-death experience and comes back with all these realizations that you are not my father, and which mother are you talking about, and I had so many mothers and so many fathers, and so it was straight away going into his heart. Once Radhana Swami Maharaj was telling, out of his humility, that once he was giving a lecture somewhere abroad, and it so happened that there were some Krishna conscious kids along with him, and he was giving a talk. And he was telling that people couldn't appreciate somehow what he spoke. Out of his humility, he was telling that. So somehow, but they were very inspired by the small children who were there with Maharaj, who were there also in the audience, and Krishna conscious children wearing tilak and, you know, wearing gopi dresses and dhoti kurtas. They were very inspired. So they came to Maharaj and they said, Maharaj, you know, your talk was okay, but suddenly it is very inspiring to see these kids, you know, so happy in Krishna consciousness. It's really inspiring to see that. And really, by seeing that your children are so happy in Krishna consciousness, I can tell that your movement has a very bright future. So he was telling that, you know, I preached for 1 hour, I was speaking philosophy, but it didn't go into people's head. But when they just saw some few kids playing around, naturally practicing, you know, in the mood of Krishna consciousness, and it created so much of impact. So many times it happens, it helps. I mean, it would be a good thing to learn and pick up from this, that how small children can be used for preaching. And Prabhupada would use that, actually. He would use this strategy. He would bring small kids sometimes and, you know, you teach them in Gurukul, and you invest a lot of time in training children in Krishna consciousness. So in the purport, Prabhupada is telling, it is a practical experience in this material world that the same person who is one's friend today becomes one's enemy tomorrow. So, our relationships or friends, as friends or enemies, family members or outsiders, are actually the result of our own different dealings. And we can see there are so many such examples in the scriptures and even in day-to-day lives of people turning around from friends to enemies. We can see example of Kamsa. Kamsa was so happy to, you know, drive his sister's chariot to Vasudev's house when she was getting married. And we know that pastime very well. That he was out to please his sister, it is explained. He wanted to please his sister because she was newly married. And so he was driving the chariot of his sister. And when all of a sudden, there was an Akashvani saying that the eighth son of your sister will be the cause of your death. And as soon as he heard that, the sister whom he loved so much became an enemy for him. He immediately took out his sword and caught the hair of his sister like this and was about to chop off her head. In an instant, in a moment, he was so eager to serve his sister at one point of time, and within a moment, he turned around. What indispensable behavior. And we see so many such examples. One such example comes to mind of the daughter of Bali Maharaj. And she was present when Bali Maharaj was giving charity, and Vaman Dev happened to come there and he asked for a charity of 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj was giving. So he said, so what do you want? And he said, 3 steps of land. So looking at Bali Maharaj, so beautiful, small, tiny brahmachari, Ratnamala was sister, a daughter of Bali Maharaj, fell in love with him as a child, as a, being her child. He desired, she desired that she should have him as her child. He desired that, you know. And the next moment, when Vamandev manifested his huge form and started taking that 3 steps of land, you know, which people didn't expect, at least she didn't expect, and saw that her father had completely become bankrupt in a moment, then that lady became envious of the Lord. She became envious, and she desired that, even if I get you as my son, I will be glad to kill you. She thought like this. How could you be so ruthless to my father? In a moment, in a fraction of a second, this turnaround took place. So the Lord is so merciful that he fulfilled her desire. And she was born as Putana. She was born as Putana because she had a desire to have Krishna as a child and breastfeed him. So Krishna fulfilled her desire, gave her the opportunity. But because she also had the desire to kill him, so that opportunity was also given. So that she could, you know, she came with a poisoned breast and she tried to kill her like that. So we can see how people change when their interests are not met. And we can see various such examples, not just in the scriptures, even in day-to-day lives. In the Prerna, one of the Prerna lectures, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj is giving this example of the cricketers. Oh, how much the fans love them. Oh, you know, they to glorify them and they say, oh, you're the hero. And, you know, they put their posters on their walls and, you know, these rock pop stars and singers, and they will just glorify them and they go crazy on, you know, just getting one little encounter with these people. How much they love them. So much affection for these cricketers. But when the recent cricket match was played and they lost, in the second match only they lost, and all the fans, so-called fans, from cooling fans, they became exhaust fans. Started blowing foul air into their faces. People were telling me that even ladies were wearing pads and having bats in their hand and saying, come back, we'll go and play instead of you. You don't know how to play. Seems like that. Come back, change the team. And they were making caricatures and making cartoons of these people, you know, begging that give me an opportunity to play once more. And all that insulting, degrading dealings with the people they loved so much. They loved them so much. And within one match, everything is finished. So where's that love gone? Where's that love? Where's that affection? Where is it all gone? So actually that was not love. It was just selfishness, basically. Everyone is in this world to get their own ends met. That's what the scriptures say. Ichha dvesh samutthena dvandva mohena bharata. The basic reason why everyone in this world is present because of that one fundamental problem that they are envious of Krishna. Everyone is here because of envy. Because they come here to gratify their senses. They come here to just enjoy simply. So the so-called praises and affection and all that, wonderful glorifications and all that is simply a facade. Because the moment the person stops gratifying your senses, that's it. You're out. Get out of my life. That's what it is. There's no love in that. So that makes a devotee, or for that matter, any intelligent person think, what is the use of getting any glory in this world? Any glory. Someone come and praise you, it's only out of, he's getting some sense gratification out of it. Because you are gratifying senses very nicely. And, or probably he's just thinking, why are you there? You're doing things so well. I should have been doing that. Why are you there? So it's an expression of us envy. So what's the use of actually, in one sense, trying to make it very big in this world when everyone out here are actually just going to envy you? It's no true love. It's not based on love. Very rare. And we can see that there are so many such examples. So many such examples. That's why it is said, yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjitaha jnanagni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. That it takes a very intelligent person to actually give up the desire for sense gratification from each and every endeavor that he makes in this world. For him, it is said that all the reactions of his work are burnt out by the fire of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Jnana agni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. He is called as a buddha. He is a truly intelligent person. Because in every dealing, there can be selfishness. When one praises someone, oh, you're so good. Oh, you're so nice. That could be because of selfishness. Why? Because I want myself to be in your good books. Please. You know, also give me some glorification in return. Okay, I'm glorifying you, you please glorify me. Or when you correct someone, that could be because of frustration. The husband goes to office and he gets a lot of abuses and insults and a lot of work, and he comes home and kicks a cat and abuses his wife. So even corrections, it could be because of frustration. So we see that there are so many such motivations that could be there in dealings between people. Or so-called love in this world where people get married. Like recently I was taking a youth program and one boy told me an incident of how a 18-year-old or 19-year-old girl, very beautiful girl in the West, got married to a 68-year-old man. Why on earth would anyone do that? So that man was a multi-billionaire. He was a billionaire. So now we come to know why. Isn't it? Yeah? No need to be Sherlock Holmes to understand. It's pretty evident. And then what happened? What's the proof? That I think at the age of 72, he died. About 4 years of married life, he died. So then there was a big fight between his other children and this girl for the property. So this is the nature of this world. In every dealing, there could be certain selfishness. Similarly, there could be in everything. You love someone, could be selfishness. You ignore someone, that also could be selfishness. That also could be some ulterior motivations. That is the way of this world. So, that's why, as some devotee had said, there are three very important words in the English dictionary. It was two, but three. I, me, and mine. Very important. Very important. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? And everything hovers around this thing. But what it takes to actually become a devotee is to give up this mentality. To give up this mentality. So here, Prabhupada is saying, our relationship as friends and enemies are actually the results of our different dealings. Sometimes a friend, sometimes an enemy, sometimes a relative, sometimes a... So he continues, he says, Chitraketu Maharaj was lamenting for his son who was now dead. But he could have considered the situation otherwise. This living entity he could have thought, was my enemy in my past life. And now having appeared as my son, he is prematurely leaving just to give me pain and agony. Now this is a very important philosophical concept. So we can see in the Shastras there are other such examples of Kamsa who killed all the sons of Devaki. Little did he know that all these children were actually his sons in the past life. in his past life was Kalnemi, and these sons were his children. Now his children were born as the sons of Devaki, and he thought, now they are my enemies because they have been born to kill me, so I should kill them off before they kill me. So this is the modes of nature. Actually, the scriptures explain no one is related to anyone biologically. Father may be attached to his sons. Sons may be attached to their parents or sisters or uncles, aunties, phufas, phufis, and you know, all those kind of relationships, you know, one may think of the families, societies, are actually all born out of biological relationships. It's just an arrangement of the three modes of nature. Just because there is some connection biologically, this soul was born in my family, so he is my son. This soul was born as my daughter, so she is my daughter. That's all. That's all that it is in this material world. It's just a biological connection. But the Shastra has explained that the soul is actually having no relationship whatsoever with another soul, except that they're all servants of God. That's all. And in due course of time, it is explained in the Shastras that when there is severe enmity between someone, between two people, then that person may even be born as one's own son in order to give great suffering to the father. And we can see that in practical day-to-day lives, that how sometimes children, they are so nasty, so nasty. They will steal the money of the parents. They will not obey. They will be so disobedient. They will be going here and there and doing all nasty things. A pain, basically, in all respects. But still, the parents will never, ever think anything negative about their children. They just always will be thinking, how can I serve my son? How can I correct him? How can he come on the right path? So much of love. And great stories are spoken actually about this. One such, you know, story comes to my mind of one boy. He falls in love with a girl. And that girl was very pretty but very sly. So she said, "Do you really love me?" "Oh yeah, I really love you." "Whom else do you love?" "I love my parents also." "Huh? You love your parents also?" "No, that's not possible. You should love me exclusively." "So what should I do?" "Get the heart of your mother." "Really? What? I mean, then I'll know that you love me." Story, it has been said like that. And then he goes and rips the chest of his mother and pries out her heart, and he's going through the forest, you know, to the jungle path, waiting to meet his beloved, and he's running and running and running in great anxiety and anticipation, anxious to meet his beloved. And he trips over a root of a tree and he falls down, and the heart of his mother falls out from his hand and cries out and asks this boy, "My son, are you hurt? Are you okay? Please be careful next time." So much love and affection for a son who's such a big rogue. You hear, and such glories are said about. But actually, what is this? Prabhupada said certainly that the love of the mother for the child is actually very glorious. And very, it could be compared to the love that Krishna has for his devotees. But it is still material. It is still material because there is a bodily connection. This is a biological connection. A mother may sometimes make differences, my children and the neighbor's children. I don't like them so much. Why have they come here? Big burden. They're disturbing my children's studies or whatever. So that distinction may be there on the basis of the body. Why? Because my connection. This connection with the body is there. Why? Because of the mind. Somehow people are conditioned to think like that. Once one devotee was telling in one lecture that when people use the washrooms, they can somehow tolerate their feces, no problem. But if some other person has used the bathroom, the toilet, before you going inside, they put on the exhaust fan and they open the door 10 times to ensure that there's no foul air or whatever. and then they will enter. Why? Others left to, unbearable. But what about our own waste matter? That is tolerable. No problem. Why? Conditioning. Conditioning, basically. What is stool? Basically, it's stool. Anyone's stool, my stool, anyone's stool, it is basically what? Horrible. But we still make that distinction in that also. Mine? Yours. Mine is okay. Tolerable? Yours? Horrible. Horrible. Exhaust fan should be put in every washrooms. So this is what it is. The conditioning is so strong. We identify with the body so strongly that, you know, we see these differences. But the Shastras say that there is no difference. Everything is just material bodies. We are all souls. We have got actually no relationship with anyone. So that's what it is. So we need to change our consciousness. So here Prabhupada is telling, why doesn't Chitraketu Maharaj think that this son who was born to me was actually my enemy in my past life and he has been born to give me trouble? Why can't he think like this? That's what it is basically. The three modes of nature is just creating certain arrangements, and in that arrangements we think that, okay, he's my son, I love him so much, oh how nice. And the three modes of nature puts him as a neighbor and we hate him. Oh, this guy is so nasty. Oh, how horrible. Why does his dog come and pass stool right out of my house? How horrible, I hate him. He should be sued. And it's a big problem actually. Why? Just a little change of the little arrangements that one soul, the same soul, put in two different situations and you think, my friend, and another situation, oh my enemy, I hate him. So he's telling, why don't you just make this change? Just think, you know, he's my enemy actually, and just be happy. And you know, we tell that story in our mind control seminars. The story of that the crying hag who had two children. One child was selling glares and another child was selling umbrellas. And she'd always be miserable. So one man came and asked him, why are you so miserable? Why are you always so sad? He said, what to do? I have two sons. When it rains, I think of my son who's selling glares. And I think he's going out of business. And I feel so sad. And when it's sunny, I think of my son who's selling umbrellas. And I feel so sad. The man said, why don't you just make a switch? Just make that change. You just think of your son who's selling umbrellas when it rains and do the opposite. Really? I didn't think about it. Wow. So people think that it is so easy that we just make a change and we can actually, but actually it is not so easy. As it in the sixth chapter Krishna mentions, there are yogic ways. Ashtang Yoga mentions how you can actually come to that stage of seeing friends and enemies alike. It's not easy. Krishna explains. He says, Himsa tad abhimanena danda parushayor yatha vaishamyam iha bhutanam mamaham iti parthiva. This verse, in the 6th chapter, 8th verse, Krishna explains that a person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Yukta ittuchyate yogi sama loshtrashma kanchana. Krishna is telling it is easy to be a yoga ruruksha, a yogi aspiring to advance in Krishna consciousness, in Ashtanga Yoga process, to see sama loshtra ashma kanchana, to see a stone or a pebble equally. It's easy, not very difficult. But he goes on to say that sama shatrau cha mitre cha, that to be equal towards enemies and friends, that is very difficult. It's very difficult to do that. That is a Yoga Ruda platform. And Krishna says that is achieved after a long practice of yoga. So then what is the solution? So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita in the 12th chapter that sama shatrau cha mitre cha tatha mana pamanayo shitoshna sukha dukheshu sama sangava vivarjitaha. So it's a nice verse where Krishna is telling one who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, and who is fixed in knowledge, and most importantly, who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. So we can see that when one is engaged in devotional service, it is possible to come to this platform of seeing, or to achieve the platform which yogis are trying to achieve, Yoga Ruruksha platform, Yoga Ruda platform, of seeing enemies and friends alike, which is very difficult. It's not easy. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And we can see such examples of devotees in the Shastras. Starting with the Lord, we can see how Putana had come to kill the Lord, to poison the Lord, but the Lord gave her the position of a dhatri, a nurse in the spiritual world. Now, who can do that? So, first of all, we can understand that the Lord has this quality of not being partial to either a friend or an enemy. He wishes well for everyone. We can see that it's there in the Lord. The Lord is not partial. The proof is that demons and the demigods, both of them get the same destination when they are killed. They both achieve Krishna in some way or another. Some impersonal, some Bhagavan. They achieve Bhagavan. So in some way or another, they are achieving Krishna. Secondly, Krishna says that ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham, that whoever approaches me, in whatever mood, I reciprocate accordingly. So Krishna is not at all partial. So this quality is there in Krishna, and it is also there within his devotees. And we can see that. That devotees like Yudhishthir Maharaj, who was known for his quality of being Ajatashatru. He had no enemies. He had no enemies. Absolutely. And what to speak of Yudhishthir, all the Pandavas, in one sense, were so loving with each other. And they were so godly. So much so that the Pandavas were sharing one wife. One wife was shared with five people. Come to think of that. Generally, when, you know, if you see so many such instances where there are love triangles, where one woman or there are two men, and there are so much of trouble, fights and all that. And here there's one woman and five husbands. And we never hear in the Mahabharata that there was some kind of arguments that, you know, how to share the wife or something. They had done some good management, but that's it. We don't hear of people fighting with each other, you know, the Yudhishthir arguing with Arjuna that what is this, whatever. We never see that. They were so happy, so much respectable. Even when we saw that at the Kuru assembly, when Draupadi was being disrobed, there was so much of opportunity for the Pandavas to actually think that Yudhishthir is making the wrong decision. He didn't make that right decision of actually allowing Draupadi to be disrobed giving away Draupadi. So there was a lot of, they didn't say, this is a bogus. He's made a really wrong decision. No, they still always were stuck with Yudhishthir. They were with him, always. So how is that possible? Five husbands and one wife and no fights. But we can see that is possible because they were all devotees of Krishna. They were all pure devotees. On the other hand, there are examples in the Shastras of people like, in the Ramayana, there is a story of this Sunda and Upasunda. These two demons. Very powerful demons, but very close friends. They did everything together. They would kill together. They would murder together. They would everything together. The closest friends. Langotiyar. Everything together. Sleep together. Sit together. Walk together. Talk together. Best of friends. What happened? The demigods sent an apsara. That's it. Everyone thought I should have her. Both thought I should have her as my wife. She'd be my wife, your bhabhi. And the other person also thinking the same thing. My wife, you're a bhabhi. No, my wife, you're a bhabhi. And then they killed each other. And they died. So the real test is when sense gratification is affected. People can be together happy and very wonderful, but when it comes to service, where actually one is tested whether one's sense gratification has to be given up, where one has to accept a humble position and accept instructions from someone, then one's relationship and friendship is really tested. One can be good friends as long as one is not sharing one's, space, one personal space. But as long as there is some service given together, then friendship is tested. So this is actually a very ancient problem where people are actually become enemies. They are friends and when they become enemies. So this is always there. We can see in the Pandavas that the Pandavas were five brothers, but actually they were not exactly real brothers. They were stepbrothers. Because only Bhim, Arjuna and Yudhishthir were real brothers. And Nakul and Sahadeva were not born from Kunti, they were born from Madhuri. But still when Yudhishthir was asked that you have to forsake two of your brothers, and he said yes, take Bhim, take Arjuna. Why not Nakul and Sahadeva? Because they are not my own brothers, they are Madhuri's children. So I should be equal to everyone, I should not be partial. So this was Yudhishthir Maharaj's. So similarly we should understand that how they have accomplished such a position. We can do that also by becoming followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, becoming a devotee. Because only as Prahlad Maharaj explains in the teachings that when one accepts a position of a preacher, as this wonderful verse in the 7th canto, where Prahlad Maharaj is explaining, he's telling that Himsa tad abhimanena danda parushayor yatha vaishamyam iha bhutana mamaham iti parthiva. My dear king, the conditioned soul, being in the bodily conception of life, considered his body to be the self. And he accepts praise and chastisements. And he becomes affected. But he says that when a person accepts the position of giving Krishna consciousness to others, he becomes free from this designation. And we can see that in the lives of the great preachers, like Haridas Thakur. He was a preacher, great preacher. And the people who were beating him, people who were in 21 marketplaces, the hard-hearted cow flesh eaters, the Yavanas were heart melted on seeing the Vaishnav-like qualities in Haridas Thakur. They accepted him, Haridas Thakur, as a great saint. Now to melt the heart of hard-hearted people like Yavanas is not easy. Haridas Thakur could do that. Why? Because of his quality of being able to inspire others in Krishna consciousness. So it is this order that we have to take. As it is said, Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam Eva Kevalam. Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam. So this is the only solution to actually come to this platform. Just like in courts, they say, order, order, order. Why do you say three times? Because, important. When there's confusion, you have to repeat it. So therefore they said, order, order. Harer Naam. It means, listen. Harer Naam. So again, you realize it. And Harer Naam, preach. So this is what is important. That we hear, we realize it and we preach it. This is a very important principle. And thus, it is possible. So Prahlad Maharaj speaks very important things actually in his teachings. Very important that how politics and all diplomacy of yours and mine and everything is really a bogus. It's really bogus. We should give up this and just engage in Krishna's service. Just recently, one of our friends, he was telling me, this thing, that what if all the, politicians, the chief ministers and all these portfolio ministers, they were in a boat and the boat sinks, who will be saved? He asked me the question. I was thinking, really, who will be saved? He said, the country will be saved. And it's actually a fact. Prahlad Maharaj says, all this politics, is all politics, diplomacy. He was not interested in all these teachings. You, mine, my enemies, your friends and all these things. It's all politics. Give up all this nonsense. The government has to be ruled by Krishna conscious leaders. There's only one reality. There's no duality. There's one master, all are servants. And we have to somehow bring everyone to this platform of serving Krishna. And that only can be possible when we accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's consciousness of being in the Audharya mood of giving everyone Krishna consciousness. Coming to the level of Uttam Adhikari or at least Madhyam Adhikari to see that how we can inspire someone in Krishna consciousness. हरे कृष्ण। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल।